Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kieran Mack, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get into the top trending stories here in the country, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel as always, and hit that notification bell so that YouTube will let you know when the next podcast, show, or whatnot is updated onto the website. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, and you can hit on that. It'll take you to a website where there's a vast array of podcast players. If you also like listening to a short form version of this, you can check us out on TikTok, and there's also a link down below in the description. Now, if you want to support the show, you can do so by buying us a coffee, link down below in the description as well. And you can also become a channel member, and all the information is also down in the description because that's where everything is kept. But now we're done and dusted with all that, let's jump into those top stories today. Minister warns against lobbying in beach bully case. The Interior Minister, Anuttan Sharavakul, has instructed the Phuket governor to prevent any lobbying efforts in the assault case involving a Swiss man accused of attacking a Thai doctor. This directive follows reports suggesting that the complainant, Dr. Tandao Shandam, was approached with an offer to withdraw her complaint in exchange for money. Anuttan posted a line message to Governor Sopon urging him to hold a press conference affirming his stance against bribery and ensuring that the case proceeds without interference. The incident in question occurred when Urs Fair allegedly kicked Dr. Tandao while she was with a friend near Fair's villa in Talang District. Fair claimed he slipped on steps he thought were trespassers on his property, but these steps were later found to be illegally constructed on public land and were demolished. The case sparked public outrage, leading to the revocation of Fair's visa by Anuttan. However, Fair remains in the country pending trial. Dr. Tandao's family have asserted they will not accept any monetary offer to drop the case. Her father has submitted a letter to the Attorney General requesting a review of the charges against Fur, emphasizing the physical and mental harm caused by the incident. Governor Sopon has reiterated that the legal process must proceed without interference. Now, further on this case, and we think we went through it a couple of days ago as well, and I kind of gave my opinion on it, and I'll leave it at that. But he's actually appealed against the revocation of his visa as well. So that's going to be heard by a separate panel because he's basically saying, well, I haven't been convicted of anything. And as I haven't been convicted of anything, why has my visa been withdrawn? And I guess there is a point behind that. As I said before, I believe the law has to be followed. You've got to go to court, be found guilty. And then if you are found guilty, then the visa can be withdrawn and things like that. But this case seems to have done the complete opposite. Also, I find it a little bit rich that Anuttan is here talking about there should be no bribery or money being paid. Literally, every accident in this country, everything that happens involves money being paid so it doesn't go to court or the police. And we all know that. So this seems to be just because it's a foreigner that this shouldn't be allowed. But I could say if it was a Thai person involved with another Thai person, the money would be gladly probably accepted and this would be dropped. So, you know, there is a little xenophobia, in my opinion, behind all this as well, especially from the Minister of the Interior. As we all know, he was the health minister. He was the one during COVID who referred to us as dirty farangs, if you remember that. So this guy is also, you know, he's not exactly a nice guy in my opinion either. And I think if it was a Thai person on a Thai person, he wouldn't be as outspoken as he is now. But that's just my opinion. Love to know yours, of course. So we'll move along. American man charged after striking a parked car with a brick in Phuket. Another strange story, but an American man has been charged with causing damage to private property after repeatedly striking a parked car with a brick, believing his female partner and mobile phone were inside. The incident occurred on Cha Pha Suang Luang Road at around 5:30 a.m. when the car's owner, Tara Tit, noticed the man, later identified as Denny Martini, attempting to enter his vehicle. Martini asked if the car belonged to Tara Tit and, upon confirmation, proceeded to strike the car's side window with a brick. A video of the incident captured Martini attempting to open the car door, which were locked. Now, concerned Tara Tit reported the incident to the police, who promptly arrived and took Martini into custody. The motive behind Martini's actions remain unclear, although he claimed to have seen his partner and phone inside the car. Police found bloodstains on the car's door from Martini's attempt to gain entry. The estimated damage to the vehicle exceeds more than 20,000 baht, and Martini will be held responsible for the repair costs. I'm not quite sure if there's drugs or something involved in this. It does sound a bit strange. His beliefs, his girlfriend's in the car. I mean, if you can see her, you can see her. If you don't, you don't. So I think there's more to the story. Maybe we'll hear more about it. Now we'll move along to a story. I think we brought this to you about a month ago about a bunch of Russians who tried to kidnap a Belarusian couple and extort money from them. Well, this is actually the follow-up, which is very rare that you find out, but five Russian men have been sentenced to 2 years in jail for the kidnapping and extortion of a Russian couple in Phuket town in January. The Phuket Provincial Court confirmed the guilty verdict and sentencing on April 10th. The men, who were not named in the court announcement, originally faced the 4-year jail terms, but their sentence were halved as they pleaded guilty to the charges. Now, the incident occurred when Belarusian national Albert Vivienko, 23, and his wife were abducted in Phuket town on January 31st. They were forced into a black Hyundai minivan and taken to a house near Naka Market, where they were coerced into transferring $801,000 into cryptocurrency. The couple were released unharmed shortly after. The men were arrested at the scene and evidence was seized by the police. Although not named in the court statement, the men were identified at the time of their arrest. Despite being tourists, the Phuket Provincial Court emphasized the seriousness of their offence. The jail terms are to be served without probation, according to the court statement. So these five guys, rightfully so. By the way, it says $801,000, but I'm not quite sure actually if that's correct. But I'll follow that up again. Seems like an awful lot of money. I don't remember it being that much, but the article I read said that, so we'll see. But nevertheless, they've got what they deserve. 4 years, it was cut down to two because they admitted to doing it. I mean, admitted to doing it. They were caught with the guy tied up in a chair. So, I mean, really, the evidence was there. But nevertheless, that's going to be an extended holiday for these tourists, I guess. Now, moving along, we'll move along to the digital wallet. That's been so much talk about. This was the flagship offer from the Pootai party during their election pledges. But the 10,000 baht digital wallet is to go ahead, hopefully anyway. The Prime Minister announced the launch of the digital wallet scheme after months of delay. The scheme aims to benefit an estimated 50 million Thai citizens aged 16 and older. Registration will open in the third quarter of the year, with 10,000 baht to be wired to their accounts in the fourth. The initiative is touted as the flagship policy of the government, fulfilling their election promise to improve livelihoods and boost economic growth by up to 1.6%. Prime Minister Thavisin emphasized that the scheme will uphold financial discipline, adhere to the constitution and relevant laws, and operate transparently and honestly for the nation's maximum benefit. Now, the Finance Permanent Secretary outlined the eligibility criteria, stating registrants must be at least 16 years old, with accessible income not exceeding 840,000 baht per year, or combined cash deposits in bank accounts not exceeding 500,000 baht. The digital money can only be used at registered stores in respective districts. Participating stores cannot withdraw cash immediately after transactions and must wait until the next settlement round. To facilitate transactions, the Ministry of Digital Economy and Society and the Office of the Digital Development will develop a super app for using the digital money. It looks like it's getting the go-ahead. So, however, I just read today that now the government are consulting some legal aspects to see if getting the loan for all this is actually legal. So it seems like they may have jumped the gun as per usual. I even read something that was even more interesting. Was that they said small shops will be allowed to use it. You know, your mom and pop shops, as long as they're registered and whatnot. And that includes 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, owned by one of the biggest companies here in Thailand, will be included. So how does that really benefit local people, I guess? The only people who are going to be benefiting from this, I think, will be these multinational companies with hundreds of thousands of 7-Elevens around the country, by the way, which is a lot more owned than that are franchised. So it's really, as always, leads back to the big boys all the time. And that's how it is here in the country. The idea that they fulfilled their pledge, well, they did say all Thai citizens during the election would get it. Now they've whittled it down to 50 million people or so. As I've always said with this, I don't believe this money is being spent wisely. I think it would be better off being invested into the country, invested into education, into, you know, helping poor people come out, kind of get up out of that poverty trap. And I think things like that are better spent rather than just handing out 10,000 baht, which, as we're starting to see, maybe heading to the big boys no matter what you do. But keep an eye on it and see if they actually ever get it off the ground at all. Now, something that you would notice happens here a lot in Thailand, but this is a very interesting story. So Paytung Tarn, Songkran Plan in Hong Kong draw criticism. So Paytung Shinawatra, now the daughter of Thaksin, and also the chairwoman overseeing Thailand's Songkran Festival promotions, is facing backlash from Thai netizens over her decision to spend the festival, well, guess what, not in Thailand, but in Hong Kong, with her children. Many argue her timing is inappropriate, questioning why she isn't celebrating Songkran in Thailand, especially given, well, her role. During discussions about her father Thaksin's plans for Songkran, Pei Tung Tarn unexpectedly revealed her travel plans to Hong Kong with her 3-year-old and 9-year-old children. Some critics feel her children are too young to appreciate such a trip. Well, none of their real business either, however. However, defenders suggest that Pei Tung Tarn might have scheduled the trip long before and couldn't alter her plans. As chair of the national panel, she has actively promoted Songkran festivities in Thailand, aligning with government efforts to allocate over 100 million baht for related campaigns. And Thaksin's recent parole release due to age and health concerns raised skepticism about his condition, especially after appearing strong post-release. Pei Tung Tarn's absence in Thailand could mean missing the chance to celebrate Songkran with her father for the first time since his return from exile. Plans for Thaksin's travel to Chiang Mai remain very tentative. Now, this is what you call, like, you can't make this stuff up. So let's recap. Pei Tung Tarn Shinawatra is the chairperson of the Soft Power Committee, right? And the Soft Power Committee has spent the last 6 months basically saying that every Thai person should be celebrating Songkran. And we need to get foreigners into Thailand to celebrate Songkran. And we're going to make it a 3- and 4-week event here in Thailand. We're going to have festivals all around the country. And people must celebrate Songkran. That's basically what she's being saying. And then suddenly Songkran comes and, well, she's heading off on a holiday in Hong Kong and will not be celebrating Songkran in Thailand. This is a case of do as I say, but not as I do. So as we conclude today's episode, I want to invite you to share your thoughts in the comments below. The show isn't just about delivering news, it's about fostering a conversation. Your insights and perspective matter to me. So keep the dialogue alive, like this video, subscribe to our channel and share it with others. Your support means the world to us. I'm Kira Mack. You've been tuning into the Thai Expat Daily Show. Until next time, take care and stay engaged.